As we get ready for Christmas, we get ready for Jesus. I'm going to say that again. As we get ready for Christmas, you know, Christmas has got all these decorations and trees and gift buying. I mean, we have all this celebration, which is wonderful. I love that. I love that we share Christmas. You know, we share Christmas across the globe. They've got all kinds of traditions in every country. Everybody shares Christmas. As we get ready to share Christmas, we get ready to share Jesus. Let me say that again. As we get ready to share Christmas, we get ready to share Jesus. Jesus is Christmas. Christmas is Jesus. There is no Christmas without Jesus. So we've been celebrating Jesus. I told you that when I was upstairs, I was bringing down decorations, and I saw this crib, and I was like, well, am I going to bring it down? And I decided to bring it down, and I'm so glad I did, because God has been doing an amazing work with that. So we've already started, and we said the very first thing we needed to do with this, it was an empty box, an empty crib, and first thing we needed to do was put something in there, and we decided that what we need to do is put ourselves in there. We need to put our hearts in there. And you can see all the hearts, all the names, and more to come. As we put our heart, as we give our heart to Jesus, Jesus gives us everything. And then we decided we needed some foundation. We needed some bedding on the bottom of the crib. We needed to put some hay in there. And we also decided that what we really need is a foundation of the Word. So last week we put the Word in there. Actually, I should take a little Bible and put it in there. The Holy Bible, the Holy Word. The foundation of that crib is the Word of God. We're going to talk about that today. And so today, last week we took on the persona of Mary. And we took on the persona of Mary and that we are favored. And that the angel Gabriel is speaking to us. And that we even went as far as to say that we are going to give birth. We're going to give birth to the Son of God. And of course, the men in the room here know that we can't do that physically, but we sure can do that spiritually. And I think that rang true for everyone here. I think everybody understood that in a spiritual reality, we can give birth to Jesus. As we give birth to Jesus, He gives us Himself, and He changes and transforms us into Him. The miracle of Christmas is unending. God is so profound. So today we need to give a gift to Jesus. We're going to be like the wise men. So instead of taking the persona of Mary today, I want you to take the persona of one of the wise men. You know, one of my favorite things as I was growing up was the nativity scene. I love the nativity scene. When I see decorations on lawns, I look for the nativity scene. When I go by churches, I look for where is the nativity scene. When I go by the city county building, I just give glory when I see the nativity scene. Because the nativity scene is what it's all about. I love the lights and I love the trees and I love the decorations and I love the gifts, but I love the nativity scene. Because the nativity scene is all about Jesus. And Christmas is all about Jesus. But always, you know, when I would set them up, I'd have this nativity scene that my dad made. It's nothing special. It's just made out of pieces of wood. But it looks really authentic because it looks so basic. And we would put the hay in there just like we did last week with the foundation. And we put the little tiny crib. It was a little tiny set. And we would put Mary and Joseph in there. And, of course, we couldn't put the baby in until midnight. I love that. We could never put the baby in. We'd have the baby in behind the manger, kind of tucked away, hidden. The little statue. But we couldn't put it in the crib until Christmas Day, until midnight Christmas Eve. But then we also had these three figures that would go outside the manger. They weren't in the manger. They would be a little distance, a few feet away from it. The three wise men. The three wise men who came from afar. The three wise men who followed a star from a distant land. And actually, I came to find out they were following that star for 2 years even. Up to 2 years. And they followed it for up to 2 years to get to the manger. And when they see Jesus, they just want to worship him and glorify him and give him a gift. So today, we put a gift in the manger. We have our hearts. We have the foundation of the word. And now we've given a gift. What is the gift? What is your gift for Jesus this year? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that from now until next week. What is your gift that you're going to give Jesus? I'm going to give you a suggestion. But your gift can be many things. First of all, you've already given him your heart, which is the greatest gift of all. And he is ready to give you the greatest gift of all, which we will talk about next week. But as we get ready, I want you to take on the persona. I want you to become one of the three wise men. You can pick whichever one you want. In our figurines, we had three different nationalities. It was so cool. And they would be coming in from another country. And we were representing everybody. And they would be all garbed in the finest of clothing and crowns. So as you are the wise men and women, and you're on this journey, I want you, as I read the passages, I want you to personalize this. I want you to become them. I want you to experience what they experience. Matthew 2, 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi also means wise men, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Continuing. And asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Continuing. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Continuing. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. Oh, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly. Remember, you're the Magi. Then Herod called you secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So as you take in this tale, as you become part of this story, as you are one of the wise men and you're standing before Herod and he's trying to trick you, as he is filling you with lies and deceit because he has his own agenda, all the way back to verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. It's that same thing as that memory of my nativity scene. It just strikes me that it's like my little nativity scene coming to life. It's like all those little figurines has all of a sudden come alive. You ever been to a live nativity? Ever been to one that has live animals, like the donkeys and the sheep? We did that when I was doing a church plant. We'd have the live nativity. We'd have the actual animals out there. We'd be out there freezing. It would be Michigan, you know, December. It was cold out there. And we'd have a little manger set up. And it was all looking extremely authentic. And we'd have everybody garbed. And we'd have people doing different parts. And we'd have all the animals. The kids loved the animals. And there would be sheep, and there would be goats, and there would be donkeys. Yes, donkeys. Everything but the camels. The camels are kind of hard to get. But we would live it. We would become, it would be like my little nativity scene came to life. As I read these passages, the word is alive. It comes to life. We are part of this scene. We are there. They ask, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. I keep thinking about it rose. The star rose. The star came up off the horizon. And they started seeing this star. And they're like 2 years away in their journey. And they start following this star. Because they are driven. They know that they must do this. They have to follow the star. They know the star is leading somewhere special. So can you imagine? You're one of these wise men. Are you maybe asking the other two guys, like, why are we going here? What's going on? We're on this long journey. I don't even think they did that, though. I think that they knew. They had been studying the word. They had been studying the prophecies. They knew where they were going. They knew who they were going to see. And they knew it was worth the journey. It was worth the journey. It is worth the journey, people. As we follow Jesus, it is worth the journey every day. It is worth whatever we go through. It is worth everything that we put into this church to keep it going, right, Roman? It is worth rebuilding the roof. It is worth it. It is worth getting the parking lot done, and I thank everyone for that. It is worth decorating the entire hall. It is worth it. It is worth it on Christmas Day that we speak and we share Jesus. It is worth it. This is a very curious part of this passage. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. And all Jerusalem with him. Now, I understand why King Herod is upset. I understand why King Herod is threatened here. I understand why King Herod wants to shut this thing down because, you know, somebody else is going to come and take over his rulership. But why is all of Jerusalem disturbed? It says all of Jerusalem with him is disturbed. Because you want to know why? Because Jesus disturbs everything. Jesus rocks the boat. Jesus changes everything. Jesus challenges us. When Jesus comes, things do not stay the same. All of Jerusalem is ready for a rocking of this here boat. Continuing, when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was. He wants to find out, where is this Messiah going to be born? He is on the hunt. He is searching him out. He has a mission. He has a reason. Jesus is a threat, and he knows it. He has read the scriptures. He has his teachers of the law helping him understand it. He knows that something is coming. As a matter of fact, he knows it so much that he puts to death all the babies that are 2 years or under, because he's got this time frame, and he knows that if he just takes them all out, he's going to get them. That's how threatened he is by Jesus. You know, in North Korea, if you're found with scripture, if you're found with this book, they'll take out 3 generations. They'll take out your family, they'll take out your grandparents' family, and they'll take out all your children's family. As a matter of fact, if you're just found with a verse in your pocket, you don't even have to have the whole book. They'll take you out. What are they so threatened about? Power. Because the power of God, the power of Jesus, overwhelms any earthly rulership, and they know it. The enemy knows the power of Jesus. Continuing. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. Written. This is what has already been said. This is what the word tells us. The word is infallible. Even the enemy knows that. Even Jesus, as he walks this walk for the next 33 odd years after he's born, he follows the word. He even says that it was already said. All you had to do was read it. All you had to do was hear it. It is written in stone. It is not changing. Herod wants to know what was written down, because Herod knows that what was written is true. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd. I find it so interesting. Who will shepherd my people Israel. You remember when we talked about the pen and the gate and the good shepherd, and that the good shepherd leads us, the sheep, and keeps us safe in the pen? And we decided that the pen and the gate and the gatekeeper and the shepherd, all of it is Jesus. And even as we discover in scripture, again, they are talking about this good shepherd. This good shepherd who will lead the people, not just Israel, but all of us, because we are the ones that were grafted in. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He's calculating. He's trying to figure it out. If I could just figure out the time and the date, if I could just do the calculation, I'll get all my teachers of the law, I'll get them all together, I'll get my great mathematicians, I'll do all the calculations, I'll figure it out. And he does figure it out, and he comes awfully close to a 2-year mark, and so he figures if every baby 2 years or younger, we'll just take them all out. That's what he's doing, that's why he wants to know what time it was. He sent them to Bethlehem, to the wise men, and said, go and search carefully for that child. As soon as you find him, you come back and you tell me, so that I can go and worship him. Now, of course, he has no intention of going and worshiping Jesus. He wants to take Jesus out. That's what he's really all about. So as a Magi today, you know you're being tricked. You know he's trying to trip you up. He's trying to deceive you. Herod has his own agenda, and it's pretty transparent what he really wants. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. It reminds me of in the Old Testament that they had that pillar of smoke, and they had that cloud that they're following that is constantly with them. And it was fire at night to guide them. It reminds me of the same thing that's happening here, only this is the star of Jesus, and they are following it. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. You know, when you look at the top of a Christmas tree, I love when I see the star. I love that star represents that we are following, that we are on a journey. I love it when we have the angel. The angel is gorgeous. We have the angel here, and we have the star at the entryway. We have both covered here today. But I love the star because it is up on high, and I can look up at it just like the wise men. And I can know I am following Jesus. I am following to find him. I'm coming to the house. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped. Of course they bowed down and worshiped him. They've been on a 2-year journey. They've read all the scriptures. They know who's in the cradle. They know what they found. They see the star above, the supernatural star, which astronomers to this day are still trying to figure out, how did that happen? What was that? They have all these theories that it was a conjunction of the planets, or all these stars came together, but none of them work. None of them fit. It doesn't fit anything physical about what in the world that star was. How in the world can it stay bright for 2 years? How could it continue from the east, and that they kept following it? And how did it stop right above the crib? It was supernatural. Science doesn't want to admit that, but it was supernatural. So they keep trying to come up with theories of where did that star come from. When they get there, they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are very valuable commodities in the day. So I have to say, today we put a gift in the cradle. We put a gift in the crib. We put a gift in the manger. What is the gift? I feel like that, you know, I was sitting in the parking lot, because I put in here the little drummer boy. And it just kept striking me of the little drummer boy. You know the song. And the little drummer boy is poor. And he has nothing to give Jesus. He comes to the crib. The little drummer boy comes to the crib, and he's kind of distraught because he has no gift. He's not like the wise men. He doesn't have frankincense or myrrh. He doesn't have anything except his talent. So he plays his drum for the king. What will we play for our king? Well, I told you I had a suggestion. I had an idea. I for a moment, instead of being the wise man, I got to put myself in Jesus' place. And what would Jesus want me to bring to this crib? I already brought my heart. We already have the Word that's the foundation. What would he want me to bring? We put our soul in there, we put our heart in there. I think he wants me to bring another. He wants me to bring someone else to the crib. He doesn't want me to go there alone. So I implore you this Christmas, bring somebody with you here. I implore you this Christmas, share some Jesus at the kitchen table. I implore you, share some joy and the reason for the joy this season. I implore you, as you go to the store and you talk with the person behind the counter, say it. Have an amazing Christmas. Long live Jesus Christ, our King. I implore you to share Jesus. That is our gift that we can bring to this crib. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, and we readily accept it. We thank you for Jesus, and we accept him as our Lord, our King, our Savior, our baby in the cradle. But Lord, we want to give him the gift back. We want to bring somebody else so they can have a gift from him as well, the gift of him. So we ask right now in prayer right now that you give us the wherewithal, that you give us the awareness, that you give us the knowledge, that you give us the word, that you give us the scripture, that you give us the courage, the boldness to speak out, to shout out. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and the valleys. Go tell it on the streets. I speak Jesus. Go tell it everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. Shopping center. Go tell it to a neighbor. Give it as a gift. Speak it out. Have joy in your heart and share that joy. This Christmas is about Jesus. This Christmas is about sharing. Sharing the gift of life itself. Next week is Christmas, a time when we'll give and receive gifts, a time when we'll be with family and friends, a time when we'll admire all the decorations and glory, a time when we'll spend a little quiet time in the Word, a time when we'll feel the presence of God himself. A time when we will become birthing like Mary herself. A time when we'll be like the wise men and we'll hand a gift, or be like the shepherds, which we'll talk about next week, and be simply in awe of a miracle that is taking place before our eyes. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Have an amazing Christmas. As I see you next week, if I don't see you, continue to share Jesus and know that we love you. Everyone in the church, everyone in this building, everyone in this family. God bless you. Go and share our joy.